Blog Talk Radio.
Do you want it? Do you need it? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Garage Talk Live show, that is, right here on blogtalkradio.com/Garage Talk Live. All one big blob of stuff with no spaces in between it. That's how the interwebs work. And hope you all go to rumble.com, where the They Still Live podcast now airs, because of YouTube being boobtube and banning shows. What is it with the Facebook and YouTube? I mean, can't have no fun anymore on these places. It's like, what the dilly? Eh, what are you going to do? Big tech. Man, I wish I had some of the money. Maybe I should have invested in. They just went public, so as they grow. They're not as user-friendly as YouTube. I mean, you can subscribe and you can share. But it's like the notifications, I mean, I can hit the subscribe button and a notification bell will come up and I can say all personal notification. I mean, yeah, but nobody's going to personally notify me that something's coming out. So I put, and then you'll see notifications for everything, even stuff you don't want to, but it is what it is. That's on YouTube. Well, as far as Rumble goes, getting used to that. All righty. What do we got? We've got the Roval in Xfinity and the Cup Series. Now in the Cup Series, they're down to 8. Eight left in the playoffs. Racing season is coming to a close. Wow. It's just one of those things that, you know, what do we do during the off season? Well, I think I have to book Liliac back on because I haven't talked to him in a couple of years. And I first discovered them in 2018. They were starting out as far as YouTubing goes. Then they moved on up to original stuff, doing tours, getting bigger and bigger. And the next time we had him on, it was 2020, I had him on with Mindy Jackson of Dying Oath. I think I get more music in the off season than I do motorsports, because there's really not any motorsports going on, so I got to go with something. Sometimes I'll take some time off. That's okay. I can rerun repeats. But anyway, neither here nor there. NHRA had the weekend off. They'll be back in action this weekend. As we wind down their countdown, they got 3 to go. So we'll see who takes the big trophy, the big Wally. All their trophies are Wally Parks, the founder of the NHRA. If you win your event, you get a small Wally. You win the championship, you get a bigger version. Now, at least given NASCAR credit, each of their series has their championship trophy design. And the one you get when you win the race is what the track heads design. Like you go to Martinsville, you win a grandfather clock. A grandfather clock. You know how tall they are, right? But the height of a refrigerator, but maybe half as wide as one of these new double-doored things. Or Dover, you get Miles the Monster holding a car, which usually you'll put a die cast of the winner's car. Nashville, since they re-brought that. Back when they had originally, Sam Bass would paint Gibson guitars. Gibson, I guess, is in Nashville, so, hey. The race-winning trophy was a Gibson guitar, usually a Les Paul. I think a Flying V would probably be a better trophy, but, hey, that's just... And anyway, but, you know, I think they're doing that again, except they don't have a race-specific painting. I don't know. I have to talk to a friend of mine who used to work for Nashville, but then she now just does works there for events. But now Nashville is owned by Dover Motorsports, so they just send their whole team out. From Dover all the way out to Nashville. I think they still own Gateway. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying. Charlotte has their trophy. I know Texas used to have, I forget what their trophy is. Maybe a pair of bronze cowboy boots. But then they have the winner put on a cowboy hat and fire off a Fort Blanks, of course. Six gun, cowboy style. And it's just neat to see what they got. But anyway, we're winding that down. Just the emphasis on which tracks have different trophies as opposed to NHRA, which they all have the same trophy. But let's see what we got. Anything interesting this week? Charlotte. There we have media availabilities. Usually it's what's in the press room. Usually if I'm sitting there, I will tape it. And I'll pluck some things they talk about. Usually I'll ask a question. And they'll answer it. Now, to set the tone for that, you got to ask the first or second question. And, you know, then it goes from there. But let's see what we got. Said. NHRA, we're out at, where are we out at? Texas. We in Texas. So after today, that'll leave two events. And we'll give a little rundown. I did this last week of who's pretty much got it locked up. Top Fuel is close. It can come down to five, I don't know, maybe six. The leader is Justin Ashley. He is 14 points ahead of defending champ Steve Torrance and 30 ahead of Brittany Force. Now, Brittany already has one. She's looking for her second. Mike Salinas is fourth. He's 35 back. Antron Brown is fifth. He's 43 back. 64 back is Josh Hart. And the only reason why I'm going that far back is both Justin Ashley, who has some wins in the top field division, and Josh Hart were both on Garage Talk Live, if you remember. And there, the other guy is the same guy that used to handle John Force Racing years ago. So I have an in there. Not to John, but I had an in with John until his last PR rep took over. In the funny car division, I have Ron Capps in second, 46 back of Robert Height. So that's looking more like down to those two. Matt Hagen in third with a new team, but then again, so is Capps. They're getting used to new stuff. Matt Hagen, of course, was with Schumacher Racing. Looks like Big Donnie thinned the herd a bit. So was Ron Capps. Both those guys are a champion drag racer, so hard to let you go. But with Matt Hagen, he's with only a two-car team, not a team for every division, but just two nitro-burning vehicles owned by Tony Stewart. And the other Tony Stewart-owned car is Leah Pruitt. Of course, she's going to have a ride because she's married to Tony. Good for him. It's just funny how it's not funny that you can fall in love and marry somebody in another form of racing because Courtney Force and Graham Rahal tied the knot, an IndyCar driver versus with a drag racer. So it does happen. But I figure Tony has won two driving championships. Well, he's won more than two. He's won an IndyCar driving championship. He's won a NASCAR. He's won a few NASCAR driving championships. And he's also won an owner's championship in NASCAR when Harvick won. So now he's going for the NHRA, so as an owner. I'm surprised that he hasn't decided to get one as an owner in IndyCar. Maybe it costs too darn much. I don't know. I'm sure he'd have some brains to pick between Penske and Ganassi. But I will say one thing. If you're looking for, like, women in motorsports, there's only one form of motorsports at a major level that have women champions. That being NHRA. There you had Shirley Muldowney back years ago, the pioneer. Then you had Angel Sampe in Pro Stock Motorcycle. Brittany Force in Top Fuel. And then Funny Car is still barren of the ladies. I thought when the year Courtney Force finished second, she'd come back, maybe go on to win a championship. But she had already gotten married and she stepped away. I think it's due to a pregnancy. Now she's on her second child. But there's somebody this year, and we're looking at Pro Stock, that has a 120-point lead over second. 8 wins. That's a lot of wins. Especially on a 26-race. I don't know. They're not running 20. think Pro Stock is down to 23. I know they shortened their schedule. And should win her fifth Pro Stock championship. And that would be Erica Enders. Well, she used to come on the show a bit, and it's been tough to get her on. I guess she's getting busy. And now, see your top leaders in Pro Stock Bike. You have Matt Smith in the lead with a 21-point over Joey Gladstone. And then Angie Smith, who's Matt's wife, is 90 back. Three races. Joey might be able to catch Matt. I don't know about Angie. She would have to win the next three events, and Matt would have to get knocked out round one in all three events. Well, and then Gladstone will have to get bumped out early as well, so it's not a given. And then Eddie Krawick, he's 106 back and forth. But that fourth, fifth, and sixth are 2 points apart. So they can change. Terry Savoie, who is in sixth, is 108 back. Steve Johnson is 107 back. And I said Eric Krawick is 106 back. So that's 2 points between fourth and sixth. And then 8 points behind that is Angel Sampei, who has won, I believe, three Pro Stock Motorcycle Championships. So there you have it. The ladies of drag racing have more wins and championships than the ladies of other motorsports combined in the U.S. now. I don't know about lower-tiered IndyCar or Formula, the Formula Series, but it's just that tight. All right, let's wrap up our weekend. Week 3. Oh, and if you want to watch the NHRA this weekend, the TV schedule, check your local listings. We're looking at where they got this thing set up. Hard to make out. All righty. I'm going to check your local listing. Usually on Fox Sports 1, you'll get a couple of rounds of qualifying. And the final eliminations will be Sunday. That I can safely say. All righty. What do we have this week? In the Xfinity Series. In the playoffs, your winner and with the win he locks into the next round is A.J. Allmendinger. Said two times for 25 laps and won stage one. So he takes 6 playoff points to his total. And he moves in. Ty Gibbs is second. Noah Gragson, third. James Davidson, he's in the playoffs. He's fourth. I don't recognize him. Justin Allgaier, fifth. Alex Labb, sixth. Brandon Jones, seventh, eighth. Josh Perry, ninth. Ryan Sieg, all playoffs, except for Alex Labb. And then rounding out your top ten is Landon Castle. And he's not in the playoffs. I think he was early, but didn't make it. And in 11th, Sam Mayer. Jeremy Clements is still in the playoffs at 14th. Who won stage two was Brandon Jones. The race was 2 hours, 21 minutes, 37 seconds. Average speed, 70 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 0.582 seconds. It's Allmendinger's 15th Xfinity Series victory. I think, as I always said, it was 4 in a row at the Roval. So that's pretty much, he owns that track. 9 cautions for 15 laps and 8 lead changes amongst 6 drivers. Alrighty. Check the points. Point this is. Reseated driver point. There we go. All right. As we have your points, we're in the round of 8. So Allmendinger locking into the round of 4. So Gragson leads the points. A.J. Allmendinger is second. Ty Gibbs is third. Justin Allgaier, fourth. Josh Berry is fifth. Austin Hill, sixth. Brandon Jones, seventh. Sam Mayer, eighth. Ryan Sieg, ninth. Actually, Ryan Sieg is out of the playoffs. I don't know why they still have him listed in there. So Sam Mayer is eighth on the bubble, and he has a lot of ground to make up. I'll leave it at that. At least 30 points, 35 points to get him in the fourth, which means Allgaier, Berry, Austin Hill, Brandon Jones, and Mayer would have to really mess up. Or like I said, we'll find out in a week who's left, because then your top four would be Gragson, Allmendinger, Ty Gibbs, and Allgaier. I think Gragson might also be locked in. They ought to have a special category. They got race wins, stage wins. They ought to put playoff wins. So if they're in the playoffs and they win, you know they're locked in. All right, let's go. See what our winner has to say.
Roll into our post-race press conference. We've now been joined by our race winner, A.J. Allmendinger, who won today's Drive for the Cure 250 by Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina. A.J., congratulations on the win. This is your fifth win of the 22 season. Tell us a little bit about those final laps and hashtag Gibbs.
Yeah, it was Ty was doing a really good job. He was pretty hooked up. Obviously qualifying, our car was really good in the first stage, and then as the race developed, we were kind of really starting to have some steering issues. Not sure what they were. It kind of felt like the power steering was kind of cutting in and out, but kind of started to fade there. We got stuck in traffic at that second stage and allowed Ty to get around us, and then he was doing a really good job. I didn't think we had anything for him, honestly. I was frustrated. I just couldn't do what I needed to do to catch him, and he wasn't really making any mistakes. And all those restarts, I just couldn't time it to get to the outside of him. I knew if I could hang the outside through turn one, we had a shot to at least take the lead and force him to make a move on me at least. So that one restart, I was able to clear him, and I knew it was going to be a battle. And then when that caution came out, I spun the tires, and the nine gave me a good shove. And I drove into one as deep as I could and did everything I could to try to not get in the fence there, and was able to get him clear and just try to put two solid laps in. And it's pretty amazing to be able to win four in a row. This was a race that, I didn't believe at times with 10 to go or 5 to go that we're going to be able to get it done. But that's what I love about this race team. They kept pumping me up. I felt like I was letting them down, and I just knew if we had enough restarts, if I could just time one right, maybe we had a really good shot at it. So felt like we stole it, but not going to give it back.
I understand that. All right, we're going to go to questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We're going to start with Mike Kimbrey, and we'll walk her away.
Mike Kimbrey, NBC Sports. if you keep doing this, you can probably get a truck cup ride.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's going to get me kicked out of this race, though. I can't run this race anymore.
Possible. When you're running like that with Gibbs in front, try to notice tendencies that he's doing in certain parts of the track to try to set up what you might do. Just kind of wait for what you think's the best opening.
Well, I mean, I just it was one of those things where just because of what we were fighting in the front of the car, I couldn't ever get it turned good enough. And so I kind of would struggle getting it turned mid-corner, and then I'd burn the rear tires up off the corner trying to get the car to turn. And he was doing a really good job. I saw a couple times if I stayed close enough to him, I could get in his mirrors, and he started getting deep into the brake zones. But really the restarts, he was so good at them that he would stretch out 5 to 6 car lengths, and he'd open that gap up. So he never really had to worry about me into the brake zone. So that was the only thing I was noticing was anytime I got close, it forced him a little bit deep in the corners. But like that the previous restart before I got around him, he had such a lead, he was going to just probably drive away. So, I knew it was restart or bust, really. My only shot ever to get around him was on the restart, and fortunately I was able to time that one out and do that.
Tom?
Any extra sense of playoffs knowing my or kind of a champion?
So you've already written me off next year, Bob?
Well, I was going
to. I saw you trying to do that delicate.
Yeah,
no,
I was trying to do
it
delicate,
that.
But
I feel good you're not just completely crushing my feelings.
I'm not. I would say that Pollock is still a little bit away from being champion.
I like it. Put it on the team. I like that. No, Bob. No, honestly, no. Like, I don't – all this is a bonus to me. Now, honestly, 4 years ago I sat up here at this race and talked about that I probably was looking at something else in life. JTG and I were splitting apart, and I thought NBC was the next side I was going to, and then that was next step in my career. So – at that point in my life, I had NASCAR wins total. So we're up to, I don't even know where we're at now. That's a good thing that we have to count that many. So no urgency. The way these playoffs the way the championship works, you know, obviously you got to get to Phoenix, and it comes down to four drivers at that race and nail it that day, be the champion. But with that said, I would never trade. If you told me it was win one championship and you don't win all these races, share all these victory lanes and all that, but you get one championship at the end of it, I wouldn't trade that. I love what we've been able to do, and if we're able, fortunate enough to put the cherry on top and get the Phoenix, then great. Not, man, I love what we're doing right now, Bob, and I know the Cup step is going to be a giant one, and there's going to be a lot of ups and downs, and you've already written me off for championship there. I'm joking, Bob. But no, I mean, no, there's no urgency. I'm loving every moment that we get to spend in victory lane and having fun.
Steve Connolly, the podium finish. AJ, first I've got to ask, did Tara put any extra pressure on you to win this so the celebration can continue in your anniversary weekend?
Well, we had a nice calm anniversary. Well, yesterday technically was our anniversary, but we did it on Thursday. I'm old now. Like, I had to be in bed by 7. But I don't know. I mean, babe, do I need any more pressure than I put on myself? Yeah. No. No, that's why she's great. She just puts up with me.
Yeah, good luck with lessening that pressure going to the Cup Series.
Yeah.
You've got to be looking at these next three races, moving into the next round, gaining points on Noah. But they were talking there at the end of NBC broadcast that he's the favorite. They're saying he's the favorite to win this. 3.1 average in the next three races. How do you look at that? Is it a must win in these next three to go on to the final four? And
I don't think it's a must win, but it's a must probably got to run top five full time. Now, I think that we can, you know, there's going to be at least one driver to get into Phoenix without winning a race, right? I mean, so we don't have to win it at any of these. Believe me, I'd love to go win Vegas and spend the next two. We know how good, especially Noah, is at Homestead. Really good. I mean, he's really good at all these racetracks. But no, I don't think we have to win, but we have to execute, run inside the top five. I felt like Texas is a really good step in the right direction on the mile and a half. Texas was a racetrack that we struggled at, so we ran inside the top five there, had some fast cars. But yeah, and we got to go execute and maximize everything like we've been doing all year. So I feel confident we can run top five at all three races. We'll make it, but a lot of work, so we'll dig it.
Go ahead.
Trent with frontstretch.com. Describe the relationship between Ty Gibbs that's developed on the racetrack, especially at Road Course. When I watch that, it kind of almost has like an Xfinity version of Earnhardt versus Gordon, you know, the grizzled veteran versus the young kid coming up. So just what has your relationship with him been like? And this career and Cup that you're about to have, that resurgence, just overall your feeling with life in general with that and where you go.
Yeah, I mean, what Ty has done over the last couple of years, I mean, it's got a lot of pressure on him. He, you know, he jumps in those cars and he's expected to win, and he rises to that pressure. He goes out there and wins. He's won a lot of races in, what, a year and a half, really, because he didn't run all the races last year. So, you know, it's be that young and have all the eyes on you right away. And, you know, we see the ups and downs and the mistakes that he makes. You know, the biggest thing is it's okay to make them as long as you learn from them. And I feel like he does try to learn. You know, on the racetrack, I feel like, you know, I have a huge amount of respect for him, and it was fun battling him there on the restarts. But, you know, he's going to be here a long time. Be here a lot longer than I'll be still in the sport. So, but, yeah, it's I enjoy racing them. I enjoy racing all these guys because they make me step my game up and try to learn new tricks of how to beat them. And we know that 54 car is probably the fastest car. And when he gets in it, he makes it the fastest car. So he's tough to beat. And if it played out, was probably going to win the race. But, you know, restarts, so I can still got a couple of tricks up my sleeve and was able to steal it from him. But I feel like, you know, as he learns, it's not like on me to tell him. I love talking to him, but he's got enough people around him that he'll just keep getting better. That's what's scary. Oh, and the cup thing. I'm pretty pumped up about it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have signed it.
All right. Any final questions? All right, AJ, congratulations again on that win. And best of luck next week as well.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for everything.
There you have AJ Kolig, your race winner, locking in. There is a Kolig announcement, which was Sunday after this press conference. So let's go to that one.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to race day here at the Charlotte Motor Speedway road course with the Roval, which will be taking place this afternoon. But before we get to racing, we are going to have an exciting announcement here from our friends at Kolig Racing. We've been joined by Matt Kolig, Chris Rice, and Daniel Hemrick. And Daniel, I will turn it over to you.
All right. No better time than the present, huh? Yeah, appreciate you guys being here today. Really up here to talk about something really cool. Back in 2019, my wife Kenzie and I were able, you know, once I got to the cup level, were able to something that was very near and dear to our hearts was trying to figure out how we could give back and how we could create some kind of change within our community, especially the community in which I grew up in, here in the Kannapolis, North Carolina, Rowan County area. And by doing so, we're like, man, how can we do that? So we had a lot of people on our team that helped us, you know, diligently go about what that next step of the process was, and we ended up establishing the Daniel Hemrick Be the Change Scholarship, Endowment Scholarship, that's rewarded to one recipient every year, and it's based through Rowan Cabarrus Community College, which is a very important deal to me to go there, because whenever I was growing up through the ranks, you know, racing was fine and good, but there was a point there where it didn't look like the whole racing thing was going to work out. Luckily, these guys have had my back through that. And as I went through that process, you know, I realized that, man, if racing hadn't worked out, what would I have done? And having a process and a step to where you could go and a school you could go to learn a trade like a Rowan Cabarrus Community College, four-year college isn't for everybody. It's not even achievable financially for a lot of folks. So when we established it under the terms that, one, you had to qualify for financial aid, you had to want to be a part of a motorsports program in either welding or mechanical engineering. And after establishing those bullet points, we were able to, you know, give our first recipient or introduce the first recipient in 2019, again in 2020 and 2021. But to these folks here, we've been able to do something really cool over the past 12 months, and I think that's growing a little bit. I'll turn it over to Matt.
I get super proud of everybody, you know, all employees, all race car drivers, all that do great for the community. And this is a really great program that Daniel's gotten behind. And so we wanted to get behind it as well. So we were at Kolig Giving. So you guys know that one of our philanthropic arms of the Kolig companies is our philanthropy. We've given over 200 501c3 organizations this year. We're heavily involved in the NASCAR Foundation and just like to do things mostly up in the Northeast Ohio area, but like to be involved in NASCAR and get behind some of our people that are doing great things. So Kolig Giving is getting behind a second scholarship this year, you know, for these guys and for that community college. And we're super proud of what Daniel does and what he's done for the community and on the racetrack. And I hope he continues to do that.
There you have Kolig Racing making their announcement with Daniel Hemrick doing some charitable things. I thought it was to announce the Allmendinger signing with moving to the Cup team, but I guess not. Anyway, neither here nor there. Now let's talk about Cup teams, race. Because this is the last race in the round of 12, so somebody has to win to lock in, or we could have a spoiler and we'd only have one win to lock in. That would have been Chase Elliott last week. But who gets it? Well, in a battle toward the end of the race, it was between Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell. Larson, if he won, he would have locked in. But I guess there was some paint, but there was some paint trading going on, and Christopher Bell was able to get past Larson and go on to win the race. So Christopher Bell locks into the round of eight. Kevin Harvick was second. Kyle Busch, who was eliminated early in the playoffs, was third. A.J. Allmendinger was fourth. He's not running for points this year in the Cup Series. He is in the Xfinity Series, though. Justin Haley was fifth. Chris Buescher was sixth. Bubba Wallace was seventh. Tyler Reddick was eighth. Chase Briscoe was ninth. Austin Dillon was 10th. Race was 112 laps for 254 miles. Race number 33 of 36, the Roval 400. I have usually they call it the Roval 400, so it's either 400 miles, 400 laps, or some other strange reason. This is only ...259.84 miles out of 112 laps, so 2 miles long. I don't know. I guess you could do the math. I don't know how they call that a 400 lap race or mile race. But anyway, the race took. Wow. I'll just call it 3 hours. I'm going to give you the exact time because it was 6 seconds short of 3 hours. That's it. Average speed, 86.661. Margin of victory, 1,790 seconds. Joey Logano in 18th. Won stage one, and all the way down in 37th, Roy Chastain, who won stage two. There's a lot of gaps in there between the stages. Alrighty. Multiple lap leaders. We had Chase Elliott led once for 30 laps. The other three were 27, 24, and 21 laps. People leading one time would have been were Allmendinger. Actually led three times, and then Reddick twice for 21, and the only other double-digit lap leaders were Allmendinger, Logano, and Chase Elliott. It's weird seeing Chase Elliott so far back. But with the win, Christopher Bell gets his third Cup Series victory. There are four cautions for 10 laps and 10 lead changes amongst. All righty. It's check it out. Oh, here we go. Error while opening. Come on. There we go. All righty. Leading your points. Here's the points for the top. Wasn't adjusted for. Come on. If we can go back and get them the reseeded version. All right, we got. There we go. Chase Elliott leads the points. 20 behind him is Joey Logano. 25 behind Chase Elliott. And third is Ross Chastain. Christopher Bell with the win. He's locked in. He's in fourth in points. Ryan Blaney, William Byron in sixth, Denny Hamlin in seventh. Rounding out your top eight. Ryan Blaney, fifth. William Byron, sixth. Denny Hamlin, seventh. And at the cutoff line for the round of four is Chase Briscoe. First one out of the playoffs is Kyle Larson. So, Larson was your defending champ, so he's out. Last year before that, it's making it interesting to see who is going to get a shot at this. Will it be first-timer? Because you have... There's only two prior champions in the top eight. That's Chase Elliott and Joey Logano. So you got Ross Chastain, Christopher Bell, Ryan Blaney, William Byron, Denny Hamlin, and Chase Briscoe, who have never won a championship. Denny Hamlin has been close enough times. He's been in the series long enough, but he never won a championship. So, who's interesting? You know, I'd like to see somebody like a Ross Chastain. That would be really cool. See Ross win a championship. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's hear from our winner, Christopher Bell.
All right, we're going to continue with our post-race press conference for today's Bank of America Roval 400. We've now been joined by our race-winning driver, Christopher Bell. Congratulations on that win, walk-off win. Tell us a little bit about those final laps before we go to questions.
Yeah, just, mind-blowing. You know, the whole race, went green flag, and you know, I thought we were just kind of buying our time, waiting or getting to the end of the race, and I was running seventh or eighth, and a couple guys were closing on me, so I'm like, man, I just hope I can get out of here with the top 10 and focus on trying to, you know, race for fifth in the points, and then, the tide changed.
All right, we're going to take questions for Christopher. If you have one, raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you, and we'll start in the back with Barry.
Congratulations, Christopher. Barry Richmond, Piedmont Broadcasting Corporation, WAKG. I actually asked this of your crew chief. Going into the next few races, obviously the goal is to win, but how does that strategy change, or does it change now that you're continuing as a contender for the championship?
Yeah, I mean, I feel extremely good about what we have going on here in the next three races. So, you know, ever since the schedule laid out and we were looking at the playoffs, the round of 16 were all really good racetracks for us. The round of 8 were all really good racetracks for us. But then the round of 12 with Talladega and this racetrack in there, I was super concerned and nervous. And, I still felt like we were going to be able to make it through it because we're really good at Texas and we should be able to get through Texas with a good points day. But whenever we left there with a whopping 3 points, I was just really down in the dumps and sad. And then we went to Talladega and we needed a home run. We needed a lot of points and we didn't score a lot of points. And just, this whole last 2 weeks, I had been extremely deflated and just kind of down in the dumps. And now I can promise you I'm as excited as ever heading into these next three races.
All right, we're going to come up front to Matt.
Matt Weaver, Racing America. That was kind of the question I was going for about, you know, just being down in the dumps. I thought that was the case. But what does that even feel like, that transition from being so down to so up? Like, did you guys even think, because it's been well documented, that Toyotas have really struggled on road courses. Did you even allow yourself to think that this could be an option, no matter how good you've become on road courses?
Honestly, I did not. And there's a gentleman sitting right over here. He goes by Tony Merritt. And he's kind of my my DeWalt guy, and we've built a heck of a relationship up. And, you know, he'd been texting me through the weeks, and you know, he's like, man, we're not out. We're not out. We're just going to win. We're going to win. And, you know, I didn't see it coming. Like, you know, the road courses all year long, we had not been strong, and normally they're good for me. Like, last year with the Gen 6 car, I got my first road course win. He did for several more wins, but this year it just wasn't happening. And, you know, but with that being said, you see races all the time where the fastest car doesn't win. And I did keep reminding myself that you know, we're not expecting to be a dominant car or a race-winning car, but as long as you're there at the end of the race, as long as you hang out, put yourself in position, you never know what's going to happen. And, you know, it worked out where we were the first car on tires, and I was able to carve through them.
It did work itself out, but it sounded like from what you said on TV and on the radio that you thought your chances were actually better had the race stayed green instead of going down to the restart. How come?
Yeah, just because restarts are so hectic and crazy here at the Roval, and, you know, we see so many pileups getting into turn one that I knew that I had a big advantage. Regardless if it went green or there was a yellow and I was restarting on the front row, I knew that I had the advantage, but I felt like there were a lot more obstacles that were outside of my control that could take me out of it once the yellow flag flew. But fortunately, it was pretty calm, and the, you know, the front row was able to get away, and I didn't have to worry about guys behind me putting me three wide. So it ended up being smooth sailing, but I did not expect that to be the case. I thought that, you know, we'd be three or four wide getting into turn one.
All right, additional questions? Greg, and then Italy.
But you woke up this morning knowing that, yeah, I want to win a race because that's how your mindset. But there had to be part of you that was just like, you know, the sun will still come up tomorrow and I'll still be racing. And when you crossed that line and knew you won, did like his stuff come back to you? I mean, that must have been pretty emotional.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy the amount of emotions that you go through. And really all race long, I was just kind of I think the best I was fifth, and the worst I was 10th or 12th, and which was right in line with how I expected the weekend to go. And you know, I just – there's another guy over there. His name's Chris Ball, and he tells me all the time that, you know, you just have to be there at the end of these races. And we see it time and time again where the fastest car doesn't win. And today we were not the fastest car, but we – put ourselves in position. My crew chief made a great call to put tires on, and it worked out where we won the race. So we were there at the end.
And there you have Christopher Bell. All righty. What do we got coming up? We're heading to Vegas. Sin City. Saturday, Sunday. 3 o'clock Saturday and 2:30 Sunday, both on NBC. The Allsco Forms 302 Xfinity Series and the South Point 400 Cup Series. No trucks again this week, so as they wind down, we'll see if anybody locks in or is there a spoiler alert. All right, so a lot of racing this coming up weekend. We'll see you all next week. I'm Vinny B., your host. Good day and good racing. Bye now.